Last time on Dock of Shame.
The man, the young die young. The young, wait.
Is Sasquatch and Aqua.
Yeah. Very good.
And I wrote, like, rivers aren't deep?
Welcome, campers, to the Dock of Shame podcast. My name is Matt, and joined with me are...
My name is Chris, and I'd rather watch these campers drop dookies than watch them vomit anymore.
My name is Walsh, and I don't want to watch them anymore.
My name is Gabe, and I'm relishing in these Christmas time vibes.
I love it. I love it.
Wow.
Are you trying to date the episode even though we're not at all in Christmas time?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what I've been
trying to date it in the incorrect date.
Guys, yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Guys.
E3 is tomorrow.
Yeah, I cannot believe it just became 2027.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while since we've recorded.
I'm going to be 31 this year.
Damn, you're old.
You're all gonna be 31 a lot sooner.
Shit.
Guys, can you believe it? The news just came out yesterday. Total Dramarama is getting renewed for its 7th season.
Yeah,
oh,
I can't believe
God.
They moved it to Fox, too.
Welcome, everyone. Been a while since we recorded, but now we're back. Isn't that fun?
Not to... shame you at all, Matt, because you take your own pace and everything, and that's fine. We respect that. Has it been half a year since we recorded, or has it been a little shorter than that?
No, it was August.
Okay, all right.
So it's been 4 months.
Okay, all right. So not as
five
long.
Months.
Okay,
We're different people.
Five
now.
Months.
yeah.
Chris has a kid.
Yeah. Wait, another one on the way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Gabe moved across the world.
Yeah.
Where are you now, Gabe?
I don't know. Where am I, Walsh?
Shouldn't you know where you are?
Do you expect me, to know where I am?
No, here's the thing. Walsh took Gabe around the world is the thing.
Yeah. I gave Gabe a little recording booth in the basement. Kidnapped him and took him around the world.
There you go. There you go. I mean, maybe not the worst way to get kidnapped, I guess.
As long as I could
put a positive spin on it.
Survivor came back. Matt was on it, and he won.
Yep.
Oh, that I fucking wish.
Yeah.
And he thanked Troyzan personally, and he came on.
Oh yeah,
of
course,
Matt. Because then you'd probably have to eat Balut.
They haven't done the gross eating challenge in a while. It's okay.
I went on Big Brother and I got last place after trying to begin an anarchy against production.
Ooh. Were you kicked out or did the other contestants vote you out normally?
They all actually did it's funny. It was two different people on the block, but for some reason I was a unanimous vote to be evicted. So I don't know what happened there.
Reality TV is crazy,
isn't it? It's wild, yeah. I have to watch the live feeds. Oh, wait, no, they cut them off from my particular internet provider, so I don't know. It's
weird. All right, we're going to talk about Total Drama, the animated reality show.
Wait, it's animated?
Wait, yeah.
It's
like you're going to tell me now that Santa Claus isn't real.
Wait, Santa Claus isn't real?
I don't know how to continue this conversation.
Sorry, we have this is all bits that we have built up in us
right now. Apparently. Yeah, this might be a long episode. We have there's so much we've built up. You know, because it's different from other shows that maybe if I host or Chris hosts, because, you know, like, in your shoes, Matt, the host has to be a little bit, you know, they have to keep the ball rolling and things, but now we have all of this just built up chaos in us that we just want to... just
that you haven't hosted in a while, so...
Yeah.
Haven't not hosted.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly.
Yep. All right, we're going to talk about the episode, I Triple Dog Dare You. This was a very important episode to me when I was younger, mainly for the ending, which we'll talk about when we get there. Any initial thoughts? You guys had some when we had started.
Oh my God, did I need the last time on, because you could bet I didn't remember anything.
yeah, I feel like I want to save a lot of my thoughts. I think I'm getting the vibes from at least some people here that it was not a high episode. I would agree on that, but I also didn't completely hate it either. But we can get into that.
Yeah, I would say this was a step up from the past couple.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely didn't meet the expectations that I had for it that I remembered from when I was younger. But
sure,
not the worst thing in the world. Anyone else thoughts before we get into it?
In the recap, they still keep the animation error where they are holding three bags of supplies while running out of the cave.
Good. You know they didn't notice that.
I know. I just like to be an asshole on the internet and point it out. Checks watch 13 years later.
Perfect. Perfect. So we talked about the last time on a little bit. Chris was talking about how much he approved of Chef's brutality in the challenge, which implies that Chef was the one who made up the challenge, which is wild because they talked about the producers running out of ideas for the challenge for this episode, meaning that they probably did for the last one too, because, you know, they eliminated the coconut the episode before.
Right.
So I think Chef totally came up with that challenge himself.
Yeah, no, I think it, I did not get the impression that Chris was the one that invented it. I think that was all Chef and his chaotic doing for the most part.
Yep. Chris mentions once more that this is the most exciting challenge yet, and Triple Dog dares us to watch it. Did any of you guys get dared when you were younger? Like something really stupid?
Yeah.
Would anyone like to share?
No.
Nah, fair enough.
I'm sorry. I went silent because I'm trying to think, because like I don't think I did. Usually though, the way that I play those games is whenever it is truth or dare, I almost always go truth because I really don't have a lot to hide, you know?
Yeah.
And so truth is, you know, it's just the easy cop out instead of doing something really truly bizarre and putting like any of your orifices in danger, in my opinion, because that's the first thing I think of when there's a dare.
Sure. Like
your orifice, you put one of your orifices at risk.
Yeah.
I mean, well, because the dare is always either like, you gotta kiss, or it's either like, do this gross thing. So,
yeah.
Or my favorite are like, when like kids are playing and they don't know what to do, so it's like, you have to do 10 jumping jacks or something. And
yeah,
I will say though, when I was like much younger and in elementary school, I at least had the common sense of somebody being like, well, I dare you, you know, well, I dare you, I triple dog dare you, just being like, no, and not doing it.
I quadruple dog dare. And listen, the superior party game, let's be real, is tensies. I mean, let's just be let's
do it. I don't know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, actually, I'm unfamiliar with tensies.
I think that's just another way of saying, like, never have I ever.
Yeah,
oh, okay,
pretty
yeah.
much.
I've done that. Yeah. All right. So to start the episode, we get, as Chris is talking through the camper speakers, a seagull spits out a worm. Worm is happy that he's not eaten and then gets eaten by another bird. Thought that was fun.
Whoa. We are skipping an incredibly important plot point that even I noticed. Yes, it is the 3D opening shot that I even noticed you've written down in your notes. I have my own notes here.
Yep.
And I wrote it down in all caps with exclamation points because, man, it's been so long for me personally. And now we're back in the 3D, in the 3D total drama metaverse.
Here's the thing. That worm scene, I feel like I said to lead this episode off saying that I don't think it's as bad as it may have maybe come across for others, but I do think that following the adventures of the worm would have been a lot more interesting in this episode, merely by the fact that the worm, the moment that the worm leaves that bird's mouth, has, like, he almost, you see the facial expression change where I think it's like ambivalent, like just, or just like, you know, doesn't, like, whatever, like he has like just a blank expression to almost like a sinister looking look before he actually ends up getting bit by the bird. And I'm like, what the fuck is that worm thinking? What
is he up
what
to?
Is the plan there? I'm like, and so to me, I feel like that would have been a lot more interesting to follow, but I digress. He hasn't been part
damn,
of the
you're
episode
right.
to this point.
This is going to be a long episode.
Yeah, we
the campers are treated to a pancake breakfast, and they actually looks like real pancakes, despite Chris describing it as genuine food byproducts served close to their expiration dates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because they say get them hot and fresh, and yeah. Even though that's not really too accurate, and it is also an all-you-can-eat.
Yeah, and there was a ceiling pancake that Chef did scraped flip onto off. The ceiling and scraped off, and Gwen got it.
Are we sure that was the one that Gwen got? Because that had toenails on it, and it'd be weird to me if a ceiling had toenails on it.
Yeah,
would it be that weird for this ceiling, though?
I don't know. To me, I think it just insinuated that, like, even if they're getting good food, because it's cooked by Chef, it's still gross, and he does not.
You saw the eating challenge, right?
Oh yeah, no, I'm just saying, yeah. Like I feel like that particular pancake is just one of many gross things, like Walsh is saying. Like I don't know if that's the particular ceiling pancake, but you could be right. I don't know, maybe that's what they were implying. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
But based on the entire, based exactly on all the other episodes, I also think that food could always look like that, regardless of touching the ceiling.
Fair. Chef also ends up upending the entire fucking table onto Owen, and Owen accepts it as in, like, this is what I was talking about.
It was a boy's dream.
Yeah. I was really ready for him to just, like, as Chef poured the table onto him to just open his mouth and cartoonishly just eat all of them whole.
We'll talk about Owen opening his mouth later.
Oh, the Kirby Rap Back At You anime.
Yeah, like that. Just like Kirby.
Perfect. All right, so we got the first third of the episode, in addition to eating breakfast, is dedicated to some flash betweens of all of the confessionals of how everyone has felt up to this point. We had this a few episodes ago, I think in Final 7 in Izzy's elimination, where they just had a ton of confessionals of like how these final three feel about how the game is going, and we get their characteristics, and Gwen is the only normal one.
Well,
naturally,
but also I think this section I think was the strongest of this entire episode. In my opinion anyway, because I felt like this was the one that kind of showcased Gwen's character well. I think it showcased who Heather is ultimately. The pancake bit for Owen was so annoying, but I felt like that to me, where I'm at with Owen as a character, I feel like that was a very fitting sequence for him, where he's just annoying and just playing on fat tropes, and that's really it. And like, he did nothing for me during this sequence, but I felt like, again, if you're trying to showcase where the characters are at, who these characters are, and, you know, just in the grand scheme of things, I think it worked very well.
How do you feel about when he took a bite out of the toilet seat?
Not a fan, but that's just who he is, you know? That's
technically, it wasn't the toilet seat, it was the toilet lid.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's a good distinction. I'll accept that.
I was really like, oh, you know, this is nice, you know, like, Owen's not, like, they're both of them are focused on the game, but Owen's just like, oh, yeah, food. And I was like, haha, Owen. And then they took it, like, an extra step of him just then biting down on the toilet lid, or licking it first and then biting down on it. And I was is this needed? It was, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when they were flashing through all the confessionals, all of the stalls had flies in them except for Owen, because he had joy in his heart and because he was only excited about pancakes. However, then once he became corrupt and tried to be selfish and look for pancakes around him, that is when the flies then appeared in his confessional.
Oh my god. The details. The attention to detail. I love it.
The attention to detail, trying to find a metaphor in a show riddled with animation errors is...
I respect it. Yeah. You could chalk it up to another animation era, but you know what? I'm with Walsh here. I think that's exactly what the metaphor what they were trying to go for. I completely 100% trust these animators. 100%. Yep.
And the important thing is that we also find that Heather and Gwen fucking hate each other.
That wasn't obvious before.
It was obvious, but it's important to this episode, so I do not mind the fact that they brought it up again.
Yes, fair enough, yeah.
So, the producers ran out of ways to torture the contestants, so they asked everyone eliminated so far to come up with dares to give the people still left in the game. And honestly, love this as an idea. I love this. I love this inclusion of past contestants. It's a way to show like their personality still. Love the bit that they like. Oh, they have a lot of like anger that they want to get out. Totally get that as an eliminated contestant. So I like that idea. I don't like a lot of the dares that they decided, or what I should say, that the writers decided to do, because it was a lot of the same stuff.
Right, yeah, I don't know. I think a very frequent complaint that we've had throughout this rewatch has been that sometimes the challenges just feel so samey.
Yeah.
And this is, I feel like it's just par for the course on that front. Even the idea, I was just like, this is literally the Fear Factor shit again. This is literally mm-hmm. Combine that with like the mid segment, you know, the mid season eat-a-thon thing with the, you know, like there's so many challenges that you can kind of point to. It's like, yep, they've done that idea before. Yep, they did kind of similar to that idea before. Yep, they did this before. Yep. Like, and it's just, there was a means to the end, and there was a storyline that they had kind of mapped out here that I can somewhat respect, but it felt like so much padding to the inevitable for me.
Yep. I also thought that it was really weird when Chris was introducing all the eliminated contestants that Zeke got a lot of explanation as if he had to be reminded that he was the misogynistic one.
Well, yeah, he was the first one that got eliminated.
He
so
was the first
sense.
Boot.
Yeah.
But it was still funny.
I will, because I think that was just because out of all of the contestants, you know, Eva was even brought back later on. And I feel like everybody, and because Noah is also iconic enough, of course we're going to remember Noah. But I feel like, especially as a kid, I would not have remembered Ezekiel. I think Ezekiel and Eva were really the characters that I did not remember as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to say, too, it's at this point in the episode that I noticed it too in the confessionals, but the characters are animated with like much more details and wrinkles under their eyes. Like they look exhausted and they're kind of losing it a little bit. And I kind of liked that detail. Like it makes me look at like Owen's like breakdown in the confessional of like like thinking of the toilet lid as a pancake, like a little bit more interesting or things like that, where they have been through, what did they say? It's been 8 weeks. And at this point, it is just like the exhaustion is really kicking in and they're like, they're losing it and they just want to be in it to win it, or like they're just trying to commit themselves, which we'll,
for sure,
we'll go into.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that, no, that's a fair thing. I definitely noticed a lot more interesting facial expressions, especially with the different dares. I thought that, like, for from an animation point of view, I was just like, ah, okay, this is kind of fresh.
Also, Chef is rocking that dress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the fact that I love the fact that it's there kind of as a visual gag, but the fact that they don't like talk about it makes it better.
Mm-hmm. No, it's good.
Yeah, fair there for that. So basically how this works, they spin the bottle, lands on a past contestant. They have to do the dare that that past contestant came up with. And then they either have to do the dare or they have to make someone else do it. If they do it themselves, they get a freebie bottle, which lets them pass on the dare. Again, a good, really good challenge design. If they do not do the dare, they get eliminated. Love the challenge aspect in concept, in theory, for this episode. Personally. So, Gwen goes first. Chris mentions that he and Chef have a bit of a side bet that whichever one of them pukes first has to give the other $100.
It was at this point in the episode that I felt existential dread.
Oh, immediately. And I think, you know, it's been a little bit for us, and I'm going to be honest, and this wasn't an exaggeration, I actually almost threw up watching this episode.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I guess also, like, a similar kind of warning to, like, we've given gross warnings before, but it's also going to get gross in this episode. Not to the extreme point that some episodes have gotten, but, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the first one comes from Duncan. You have to lick Owen's armpit. Gwen dares Heather. And the level of detail that they give Owen's armpit is very uncomfortable.
It reminded me of, like, you know, in SpongeBob, when they, like, make, like, a quick zoom
in. I was just about to say this, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought about. I was just like, that. It's when, it's like the animation completely changes, and it's just super more detailed almost, and they want to make sure you see every little bit to know and understand what you're about to get into. Like, that was reminded me so much of SpongeBob.
So good. Or bad. I don't even know anymore. All right, the weird thing about this was the way that Owen said ice cream cone. It's like licking an ice cream cone.
I'd even place that. Maybe there was a Canadian accent. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
Ice cream cone.
Ice cream cone. Heather convulses on the ground. And then we're just going to move on. There's going to be a lot of like, oh, these characters get super grossed out. Mainly Heather gets super grossed out. We don't need to spend a ton of time on that. We'll just move on.
No, guys. No. We need to get at it with a microscope, because these characters getting grossed out is the funniest thing on the fucking planet. Oh, you guys don't understand the cinematic masterpiece. I think your IQs aren't big enough to understand the humor that is happening here. When Gwen drank that toilet water, that was so funny. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm just getting so giddy.
I'm loving this. Just letting off the steam. It's all good.
Oh, man.
Zeke's dare is to chew your own toenail slowly. Heather dares Gwen to do it. This is the tamest dare of the entire thing, I think.
I will disagree, but we will get to the tamest dare.
Okay, that's fair.
In my opinion. But yeah, I do agree that, yeah, it is your own toenail.
Yeah.
Which...
Well, Gabe, what did you say?
I just said it's your own toenail. So, like, unless you've been putting your feet in shit, I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or unless you're, like, one of the characters walking around in flip-flops.
True. Chef clips her toenail, very fancy. Puts on a show. Gwen eats it. It's fine. Let's move on. Beth's dare is to re-chew a wad of Harold's gum. Owen takes it, because it must be pretty special, and Owen describes it like he's wine tasting. I actually thought that was pretty funny, if still gross. And then he mentioned the crunchy center, and then I got a bit grossed out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boogers.
Yeah,
because Harold is picking his nose.
This is I don't know how, you know what, I'm curious what the count will be, but this was one of the moments where I really almost, like, I got so sick.
All right, let's keep a count for that. We don't have to do that. I'm not editing in Dean's. I don't want to do that. Anyway, Owen, since Owen took the dare himself, he gets a freebie. He gets to move on. And Cody's dare is up next. You have to drop a tray of ice into your underwear and just let the ice melt. That is the most Cody dare I've ever heard of.
Can I share a story with you guys?
Yes.
When I was a kid, this was an episode I remember watching. And I was like, that can't be that bad. And so I just took like a handful of like ice and just put it in my underwear. And like, then I was like, you know what, this, like, it's not that bad, but you know what, it's a story, and now I'm sharing it with you.
That's good.
Thank
job.
You for the story.
I gotta say, can we just point out that what was the word that Chris used to describe what was happening? He said that she put ice on her what now?
Oh my god, yeah, wait, hold on.
Oh, I missed that line.
Hold on, I'll go back and find it.
I think it was god. Toot, and I was just like, what?
Toot, that's what it was. That was weird.
Is that what you're referring to her as, her ass? Like, I don't understand.
I thought so, I hope so.
Because I really hope so.
Matt, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, if you're still looking.
I am, but, like, I feel like he said, like, a couple things. I might interrupt with the answer, but...
Okay, yeah. Sure, we're gonna go on. Alright, Heather decides that she's gonna take the next dare without knowing what it is. It's Tyler's. You have to eat jelly out of Owen's belly button, because they were so creative and everything had to be based around Owen.
Yeah,
because
Owen's the weird, gross, fat guy, and we're gonna keep on body shaming him.
For real? Wash your fucking belly buttons.
Yes.
Is that nasty? That shit's nasty.
But he forgot, Gabe.
That doesn't matter. Do not forget. It's just gross.
So,
anyway, it took 9 scoops.
So, Chris said, now that's one cool chick with a frosty tood. And like meaning so,
okay.
Like she had like a cool attitude.
Oh my god,
attitude. Okay.
That does
all
make
right.
it so much better, but that, oh my god.
That is leagues better.
Yeah, it did. I remember it when watching making me do it, like have like a mental double take, but like not thinking too much of it because I realized that he said tood, but I did forget. Yeah, this whole belly button thing, ding. That's another one.
Sure. Yeah.
This was the only time in the episode I chuckled, and I don't know why. I think it was just the absurdity of how Owen was presenting himself.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? That's the thing. That's the thing about this episode. I find so difficult, and Okay, sorry. I was holding this for later, but that's the thing I find so difficult about this episode is because it feels like such whiplash where you have such funny moments, but then immediately just go into, I want to crawl out of my skin. And
yeah, there was a lot of that.
But then I find it so funny again. I think it's just the episode content, but there was just the gags of like, because Owen was like, you know, like, I want to see, like, because he had, you know, his shirt off and he had like his hands together over his head.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way, yeah, like Chris said, just the way he was presenting himself. It was so
Owen just
funny.
He got so into it. Owen was built to play Total Drama. And I don't mean that from like, oh, he's a character that they wrote. I mean, this man is the embodiment of Total Drama Island.
Honestly, if
and all that it represents,
he kind of is like he. If I had to really pick one of the characters, like a lot of the characters, the character designs are very iconic. But Owen, especially like, you know, his big, you know, Canadian leaf shirt, maple leaf shirt, like it's just really iconic.
For sure. Anyway, Heather gets put on life support after this.
But that's so fucking funny.
That is really fucking funny. I really liked that. And then she barfed into it, which was also like, if you're going to do a barf joke.
Yeah,
that one is funny.
Yeah, I guess, but then I'm still like, ugh.
No, yeah, I get what you're saying, Matt. Yeah. But I don't. None of them are at this point. With how much it's been a frequent thing on this show,
true.
It's just none of it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Izzy's dare was to give a purple nurple to a sleeping bear. Owen doesn't know what it is. Does it anyway? He gets another thing.
Okay, hold on.
Harold's dare is to lick. Wait. Oh, okay, all right.
When Owen is sneaking into the bear's cave. He is seen from his profile, which is not a thing that happens very often.
That's true.
Like, the characters look just like have a different character design when they are seen from their profile. For example, like, you could see it in, for some reason, Lashana's picture is the only one that's her profile, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to share with you guys this image of Owen, like, Owen's character model, but, like, it's his the profile. Why is it not sending? There we go. And it's so strange to me because
mainly the chin.
Yes, because the what's the right word? I guess the semicircle line for the chin, the curved line for the chin, is still like center under his face. But you know, he's like the nose is on the side and the eye is looking the one way, and it's only the one eye. Weird. It just like took me out of it for like a very split second. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to share that with you guys for your guys' reaction on what you're what this is.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about That's how something. Iconic he is. He looks so strange here. This is an alien.
This is not the Owen I know.
That's not my baby.
Hashtag not my Owen.
Not my Owen.
Not my Owen.
Harold's dare is to... Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say they really just made him such a even from like the front angle, they did a very weird job with his animation in general. I like it; it's iconic, but it's just like it's just so bizarre compared to everything else.
Harold's dare is to lick Owen's toe jam. Gwen dares Heather. Heather uses a freebie. I'm going to speed through a bunch of these because it's a lot of the same gross-out stuff. Mm-hmm. Jeff's dare is to drink powdered fruit punch from the communal toilet. They didn't have to make it that color.
They did not. That shit is they did not. Swamp green.
Yep. Heather dares Gwen. She does it. She barfs. Chris and Chef both swallow their barf at that point. No one's lost that dare yet. And then we get the scene where Heather's trying to taunt Gwen, and Gwen just burps in her face. It's pushing an envelope, that's for sure.
It's pushing something on something.
Yeah, yep. it's not much words can be said.
Oh, sorry. Nope. Hold on. Ding.
Another one.
The toilet water, yeah.
Cody's dare is for Owen to eat dog food. And it apologizes that he keeps getting all the good ones. See, we need to talk about how Owen's mouth is.
Okay.
He's
yes.
about eating
okay,
dog
I
food.
I want to mention something first.
Go ahead.
Why did they throw up for that?
Good point.
I think that was the joke, but the build up for it didn't actually like feel all that earned, weirdly. Like, I feel like I don't know, it felt like there was going to be a lot. I think that they could have done something that was a lot tamer for that joke, for the fact that they're throwing up there. Otherwise, yeah, it does not make much sense.
I felt like they were throwing up there to also hit home that this dog food is just gross. It is like from the can, just mystery whatever.
Yeah, but like in the grand scheme of things, though, like...
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, okay. Like, it wasn't that fucking funny. Like,
centralized dog food is just human food that's processed for dogs. Right. So it's technically still edible, but like...
I mean, it's still, it is gross, like, but it is, it's all, like, compared to the toilet drinking and the, everything, the licking with the body parts and all of that kind of stuff, like that, it, yeah, like, it's, I don't know, I feel like it's not really on the low point of view. Going back to the Owen's mouth, this was a moment that I didn't laugh at. I don't even know if I found funny, I just was amazed at the way that he almost unhinged his entire mouth and just face down into the dog food and like went over it like he's a fucking Roomba that like it, with like veins in his neck, like they animated like his neck being super veiny, so you could tell like he is completely putting his whole power into eating this thing. And it was like the most interesting Owen consuming thing that has happened all season, so I'll give it that.
I know. His mouth looked like a leech.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Chris, yep. Chris, I have the episode in front of me, and you're talking about, like, veins in his neck? There are no veins in his neck.
I thought it did. Maybe, hold on. I'll find the exact clip again.
I know you guys were just talking off screen you guys were just talking about the Mandela effect, but like, come on guys, like I mean, you know, like, he does take his face away, and then, you know, he has it all over his face.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have veins. Maybe this is just why I animated. All right, you know what? Then picture him with veins in his neck, and that's the kind of emotions that I feel like they put into this animation.
Perfect.
I will say, like, though, him doing that, like Gabe said, like a leech, where just his mouth was just, like, this circle that just... planted down on it. I found that animation so funny, but then it is immediately juxtaposed to, in like, I know like the Family Guy scene is really like the iconic one of like constant throwing up, but Total Drama I think really takes the cake in terms of media in which characters just throw up so much.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's insane, and it's like, in what world, genuinely, I want to ask the room this. In what realm is vomit funny?
It's not.
Like, it's just not. It's never been a funny thing. It's like, it's to me,
for shock humor.
To me, when I think about any time in an animation, or any time, when you hear vomit, or you see it, in this case, which I don't think it even should be seen, but that's besides the point. Like, it's just, like, I'm not saying that you can't have it in your shows, but to kind of keep on harping on it as an out comedic effect, throughout this entire fucking show, it's exhausting, is what it is, and it kind of ruined the episode for me, because I'm just like, they keep on leaning on this as if it has to be a crutch, and it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be.
It's weird to call this a product of its time, but this is a product of its time, of trying to make the. I think they were truly trying to make one of the edgiest things that they possibly could for 2007, and still have it in a way for it to be seen mostly by children. So, I kind of get what they were going for in the sense that this is what they would do to get the edginess across. I'm more just trying to rationalize it. I'm not trying to defend it.
No, I know you. But to me, it still doesn't make much.
It doesn't
sense.
Make it good.
And I don't even know if it makes it much sense either. Because if you're trying to make it edgy and you're trying to push the limits, I just don't know how vomit is the thing that you choose. I get what you're saying. It's it is something that makes people uncomfortable for a normal cartoon to show. So I get what you're saying on that front. But to me, when you're talking about it from an entertainment point of view, from a writing point of view, I just don't understand the fixation on it, because there's other ways that you can present an edgy story and, you know, approach without it just going to potty humor.
Johnson, I read over the script for Total Drama Island. There is not a single fart joke in this episode. Mind to care to explain? Oh, you see, sir, I evened it out. There's exactly 35 vomit jokes in this one.
Right.
All right. Just remember, your job's on the line. There better be a poop joke in the next episode, too. Yes, sir. I have no idea if there's a poop joke in the next
episode. No, I was going to say, like, if you're going to say if there was a poop joke in the next episode.
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to include vomit in, like, as a joke in the show, just don't show it on screen. I feel like that's always been, like, the line with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with a gag, but the spewing is.
Or if you had to, you know, if I had to associate like Total Drama Island with a color, it'd probably be like vomit green.
Yeah,
vomit green. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
yeah, that's fair. All right, we're gonna move on. Chris says, "Is there nothing these weirdos won't do in his own confessional?" Trent's dare, eat a lot of eggs. Heather gets to do that. Gwen, thanks to Lashana, has to walk over a shark pit while holding a bunch of meat. Bridget's dare, make it baby. Owen does that. Katie and Sadie's dare, kiss a dead fish. Gwen does that. Eva's dare, Owen gets a bee beard. Noah's dare, I guess, is to wrestle a crocodile, which Heather does. Anyone want to comment on any of that?
Well, I mean, I
see.
Yeah. Go
ahead. Why did she have to use her tongue on the fish?
Maybe that was the dare.
Because I imagined the dare was to, like, French kiss a fish.
French kiss a dead fish.
I feel like the make it baby one was the tamest of them all.
I was about to say.
Yep.
Because it's one of those, like, what, okay, I have to walk out in the summertime where it's probably soaking hot in nothing but a diaper. Sign me the fuck up. Like, that is probably comfortable at this point.
Yeah, that was pretty tame. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, what was Trent's dare? To just, like, eat a bunch of eggs?
I think it's just eat a bunch of eggs.
Like, can we just... It was just, like... I like to imagine it was to just put a bunch of eggs in their mouth.
He doesn't get out much, I don't think.
Trent takes a weird turn, and I want to leave it at that. So Owen has 20 freebies, because he presumably does all the dares himself, while Heather and Gwen make each other do it. That would be my guess for this whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think that's a fair
point. Yep. And then Gwen decides, hey, we should take down Heather. Give me half of your freebies, and we can just pile all of these on her.
Hold on.
And Owen agrees to it.
Hold on.
We'll split her winnings if she wins, and we'll give him a box of donuts if she doesn't win.
I think you're forgetting the best joke in the entire season.
Oh, which one?
That is when Owen, like, it just starts playing his bottles. Just do 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 do.
Yep.
Do 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 do. I can't tell you why. I can't tell you what brain rot I was succumbing to. I can't tell you what part of my brain was leaking out of my ears, but that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
And you know what? That reminded me.
Twinkle Little Star.
It was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
And then they...
Well, unfortunately, Walsh, you did get the fart joke in there, because he goes, hoo, 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 with his armpit.
That is a reference to the fart.
To a fart?
Yes.
Yeah,
not
quite the fart.
Okay,
not
quite. All right,
doesn't have quite the impact. And then
I
think something else happens where, like, they congratulate him or they say something else, and he does, like, a little, like, victory thing that's like a couple notes on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the turning point of the episode with this deal between Owen and Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
How did you guys
any sort of catharsis? You know, before I explain, and without saying what happens, how did y'all feel about the next like 3 minutes?
They were good.
Yeah, I think this it was. It's definitely why I lean that this episode wasn't like terrible. Like it was fine, and I think it was for this moment. This was a moment that has been building out the entire season, and it felt like a fitting way to take Heather out on a situation where the Chris is thrown out any semblance of a rule book, if there even was one in the first place. But then also the fact that it was Gwen and Owen that just agreed Heather needs to go. We can deal with each other at the end. Let's just get Heather out of here. And to me, I felt like it was the culmination of just the exhaustion of having Heather around. Now, granted, that's, you know, you have to have a villain during the whole show, and everyone, you know, we enjoy. I think generally Heather is a enjoyable character to watch with how much we hate her, but this was a catharsis that was needed to come, and I think it's good. It's a good sequence that's about to follow.
I agree.
Or do you guys think it's too little, too late?
Ooh.
No, it's just enough.
I'm curious. Is that what you think, Walsh?
I feel like when watching it, maybe it was just because I knew it was coming, and I think I had already been like grossed out enough, or maybe it's also been because, you know, personally we've had that gap between watching episodes, and maybe if I was watching them through, I'd really feel that feel that catharsis a lot more. But yeah, I maybe it just didn't hit me as hard, but it still felt very good, especially the ending of Heather really getting a lot of what she deserved.
I will say, like, if there was going to be an episode where earlier that Heather should have gone out from, it should have been that episode, the reunion-esque episode where you're talking to the past contestants and Lashana was the one that ultimately ended up going home. Mm-hmm. I get that was the bit that people that should have been voting Heather, but instead they were saying the name Lashana. But, like, I don't know. That felt like a fitting moment. That would have been so cool to see. This is the culmin. This is why you should not be a shitty person. should not be a shitty person, because the things that you do to people is going to have an overall impact on how you end up being perceived and your chances of winning. And I feel like that moment would have been perfect to take Heather down. So I do get that idea that maybe it should have happened sooner. I don't think that this is a bad consolation prize overall.
Yeah. Let's talk. Let me go through the events now that we've explained how we feel about them. They just all pile it on Heather. All the dares get sent Heather's way. The first one from Courtney is that she has to drink a blended puree of Chef's Mystery Meat. And then there's leeches. There's a chicken. Heather has to just slap herself a bunch, eat a cockroach, kiss Chef's sock, and turn it into a prince. And then the one that just never stopped was there was a giant pile of pig poo, and they put a bucket on her head, and then they fired a cannon they fired Heather out of a cannon into the poo. And I think that if it stopped at the poo bucket, it would be lame. The fact that they added the cannon it was so ridiculous that I found that funny just because of how fucking far they went.
Sure.
And then finally, we end on Lindsay's dare. Heather is rejoicing because Lindsay is an idiot. But her dare is, you have to have your head shaved by Chef. The smiles on Owen's and Gwen's face are so wide. And Chef is slowly approaching Heather with the razor. And Heather kicks it. The razor flies up into the air, shaves half of her hair off. And Heather is eliminated because she did not accept the dare. She got her head shaved, but she did not willingly do it. So she, by the rules of the competition, is out. She decides to steal Courtney's shtick and mentions that she'll sue the show and is just butthurt the entire way out. This is the perfect ending for Heather in Total Drama Island. Legitimately, the best thing that could have happened to her in the end, in my opinion.
Close. Yeah, I would say so. I think, like I said, there's an argument to be said about other episodes, but I think that this, with how much of a pain in the ass that she was throughout, and practically no character growth throughout, it kind of came to a head ultimately with her kind of getting knocked down a peg and losing, I guess, the thing that she cares most about, which is her, I guess, her looks. I don't know.
And that's the episode. Heather's gone. At long last.
And we are down to one episode left. At least the finale.
Thank God. We can finally we can finally get an episode without Heather.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
We'll get to that when we get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got one episode left, and then we have the post island special, which will be kind of like a bridge for us between island and action. There is also a special between action and world tour, and we'll get to that when we get to that. But yeah, that is one episode left. We'll talk about that a bit more when we get to it.
Wait, hold on. Matt, your phone's going off.
Wait, are we going to do reviews first? Because I feel like there's a lot of things that are layering on top of each other right now.
Oh, Matt. Matt, that's really unprofessional to have your phone going off during.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. Let me get this. Hello.
Hello. It's time for Chef Watch.
Okay.
Pop quiz.
You have the floor.
Pop quiz. Did Chef have a line this episode?
No.
No.
Well, you're the total drama expert, so I was going to leave that to the other people. So we see Chef, and he serves breakfast, and then he looks great in that dress, and he assists in the games, and he gives Chris $100. And I am honestly surprised by how much of a part in this episode he played. He had no lines, but that'll be Chef Watch.
Thank you. Please never call me again.
Hi, we're calling to let you know that your auto insurance has expired. And
damn it.
it was an automated message the whole time.
All right, so let's do ratings. I want to go last.
Sure. I will go first. I'm going to give it a 6. It has been steadily increasing since the 3 I gave it on the episode 22. It really is. I felt like, I think the culmination of Heather being voted, gotten out in the way that she got it was extremely satisfying for that moment. And I think ultimately was a big part of why I think the episode was fine. I do think that the confessionals at the beginning got you a little bit more insight into the characters and where they are at. And again, I think it was a perfect representation of this final 3, including the, licking of the toilet lid because you think it looks like a pancake going. But the knocks on it are what we've kind of went over. I just feel like they've done this stuff over and over again with the challenges. It is exhausting. It is not new. It's not fresh. And I also just feel like the vomit stuff is really killing any sort of momentum in terms of making me want to keep watching this stuff because it is brutal. In terms of the amount of rough episodes we've had over the course of this season, I don't think that this is the worst. And I think, again, especially with the ending, I think it is at least decent enough to not be among the worst. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Walsh.
It sits in such a weird place where I could compare it to, you know, if I were to consider like 5 as an average, or even like if there was an episode that was meh, maybe that would be like 4, 5. You know, the episodes really start to get low for me, at least the way I try to judge them, once they start to get like offensive, once they start to get like, or almost like just unenjoyable. And this episode was so strange because it had such hills and valleys, and like I said, such whiplash of going from bits and moments that I really enjoyed and I really found funny to then these really gross moments and these moments that made me want to stop watching. I think it then also gets heightened, though, by a lot of the catharsis that we get from watching Heather suffer and all of that as well. But I feel like a lot of those bits in between really, really bring it down. But then it strangely averages out in the middle, which is why I just wanted to explain it before I give it a... Yeah, let's give it a 6.
All right. Gabe.
I'm just going to be upfront and just give it a 3. While All right. It is better than my previous scores recently, I just felt like the episode was just too fucking gross. Like, I did exhale out of my nose, like, once, maybe. And that's about the extent of my enjoyment for the episode. Yes, it's very nice seeing Heather get her just desserts, but it just wasn't enough. Like Chris said, it's just the rehashing of all the negative traits that we've listed off many times before is just bringing it too far down for me personally.
For sure. Yeah, I'm honestly trying to think of... this is definitely... So this is the most this series relies... This season is the most that the series relies on super gross-out humor. If that's any sort of consolation and makes you guys want to continue doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah, no, I signed a contract. I have to be here for the next two seasons. It is just... It is just very, very much present. It is a very much a present thing in the show that they just can't get over because they, I guess, like you said, Matt, like they're just trying to be edgy, trying to do something new. It's not working.
It's fucking funny for a 13-year-old, though. Think about it that way.
I guess. Would people find it funny at 13? I don't know.
Probably. Some might. I don't know. You can definitely tell the...
If you got hit in the nuts.
That would be, you know what? I think that getting hit in the nuts is a step up humor-wise from throw up. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be so funny. And then, oh my god, could you imagine if like their top came off? That'd be so funny.
I'm giving this a 6. We've explained enough of our thoughts. I think that the Heather catharsis, especially like, so me watching this as a kid. Unlike now, when I was a kid, I had no sense of narrative payoff. Things just happened and I consumed it. So I thought for sure that there was a chance that Heather could win. Even though the entire fucking season was spoiled, I knew the elimination order. Like that was how much I didn't pay attention to media. Like the entire elimination order was leaked online. And I say leaked because it was on in Canada before it was in the US, and I still, even though I knew Heather got third place, I still for some reason didn't think that she would get eliminated. So I fucking cheered. I remember watching this episode. I watched it in my parents' bedroom for some reason. That's how vivid I remember this specific episode. My brother and I cheered when Heather came up with her head shaved. So it's a 6, mostly because I had that fucking wild memory of watching the show when I was younger.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Hopefully it won't take 5 months to record the finale. Hold me to that, please. Walsh, hit us with the Dramarama.
Hello, boys. Welcome.
Hello.
To the Total Dramarama. It's been a little
welcome,
bit.
Welcome, Rama. Welcome, Rama. Welcome, Rama.
Now, I do believe I was going off of the Wikipedia order in terms of numbers because we had our fiasco in terms of number count, but this is going to be overall episode 83, but it's season 2, episode 31, and it is titled Cartoon Realism. This one is coming in from Andrew Shankman. Thank you, Andrew. The Wikipedia synopsis, and we'll jump over to the, you know, Total Drama-Rama wiki. While visiting to a studio who makes the Chinchilla cartoon, Beth and Gwen meet the real cartoon character from the show itself and discovers he comes from an alternate reality that the studio, quote, borrowed into making the Chinchilla cartoon.
The word borrowed is perfect. Please read the other one.
Gwen is frustrated by Beth's silly belief that cartoons are real, but they visit an animation studio and discover that Beth is right.
That's all.
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
I would like to now, usually, you know, I've been finding that they have these screenshots from it, and so it starts with them watching the cartoon, and then, you know, Beth and Gwen get into an argument, and Gwen points out that, you know, cartoons aren't real, so then they take a trip to the studio. There's a little bit where Cody breaks all of his bones, but that just seems to be par for the course for Cody in Total Dramarama, where he either seems to die or just get... He's just the Trent of this show, apparently.
Man, why isn't Trent in Total Dramarama?
He was the best character. I don't know why. And then...
See, I think the only reason for that is because it would have to... He would have to be written in such a way pre his transformation.
Fair.
And before that, Trent was really just a love... Like, a character for Gwen, really. So...
Yeah.
But the episode ends with, because the studio has a portal to this other world, and the episode ends with Gwen and Beth getting trapped in the cartoon dimension, and it ends with like Gwen's like face up to the camera saying hello, if you could see me, you have to get me out of here. Everything is made of rainbows. Cartoons are real. Do you hear me? Cartoons are real. And then she gets cut off.
That's how it ends?
Yeah.
Total drama is real, everyone.
Total drama is real.
The cartoon is real.
How many kids did Total Drama-Rama just like traumatize with that?
Oh, I mean, if every episode isn't traumatizing, then I don't know what they're doing wrong.
That's true. That's a fair point.
I feel like that exact quote is a reference to a movie or something.
Cartoons are
not
real.
Exactly, but like the quote, as in like it has the same cadence.
I could see that. I don't know on the top of my head though.
Yeah, I've no clue. I also did want to say, though, that for this episode, I realize now, and I just opened my brain to the astral dimension, because I'm realizing that the reason that Owen and Gwen are here, and they are our final two, they foreshadowed this from the beginning, from when they first introduced the characters, because look at their names. Owen, Gwen. Their names are spelled very, very similarly, don't you think? The fact Win just happens to be in both of their names.
It is really funny that you mentioned that, because the week before the Total Drama finale, they did a special episode of like recapping the entire season. We're not going to watch it. I don't even fucking know if it's available to watch anywhere. But they did a special on Cartoon Network, and they fucking pointed that out.
No.
Yeah.
Well, damn it!
No, it's it, I I'm glad you noticed it, but that special, I remember that aspect of it very vividly.
Actually, I think I remember it now too.
Everything, it's, but it's as if there was writers in the background that has been formulated this entire time.
You know what's crazy is that, at least for later seasons, the writers mentioned, I read this somewhere on the internet a while ago, I don't know if it's totally legit, they don't have the winner in mind when they start writing the season. They kind of just see what the characters are doing and kind of see where they're going and then decide who the winner should be as they're going through the season.
I think that's fair. That's kind of like whenever when I was a young lad that once wrote on a website a fake, you know, reality shows including video game characters. Yeah. I did not know who was going to be the winner ultimately. I for the most part just wrote it out and then just it kind of landed landed however, you know, I felt like the episode was going and how I felt like the characters would behave in those situations. So sure. I feel like I took on just the same amount of pressure that these total drama writers took on in producing their TV show as a fan fiction writer.
Very good.
Watch this image.
Is this the Gwen up just up close to the camera? Cartoons are real?
Yes.
Yes.
Cartoons are real.
Cartoons are real. This has been not the Total Drama Podcast. This has been the Doc of Shame Podcast. Cartoons are real.
Cartoons have invaded the world. Our world.
Please no more vomit. Please just no more vomit in the world.
We don't need it. Keep it in. If you're gonna vomit, don't. That's bad medical.
No,
advice.
Don't. That's not. Let's.
If you're gonna vomit, do it. Just stop putting it in cartoons. See y'all next time.
Total Vomorama.
Fuck. The Doc of Shame Podcast is brought to you by Team Chaos Productions. Find us on Twitter @Doc of Shame and find more of our work at Team Chaos Pods.